Sorry for the late start. First of all, big yasher kach to anonymous sponsor in Shavi. It's just Lili Nishma. Lili Nishma is Dave Bear Ben Elio. And also it's just Rafu Shlema for Moshe Ben Reizel. Besar Shachal Yisrael Bezasha. Okay, so let's learn. So again, there's still extra copies if anyone still needs. Mr. Hashem will get underway. So we're learning Sefer Shoftim. I planned on, as of last night, 2 o'clock in the morning, I planned on giving a share in Sefer Shoftim. But I came here in the morning, and I don't know. A thing came to me. Maybe we'll talk about Pesach Sheni. It is almost Pesach Sheni tomorrow, Mr. Hashem. So we'll do some Pesach Sheni. Take a little bit of a pause. Sefer Shoftim, be Isaac in Pesach Sheni. Because I didn't have so much time to prepare, so we'll do the best we can. Okay, so you'll be meichel if things are not 100% clear. It's always my fault when it's not 100% clear. There's no one else to blame. But this is for sure my thing, huh?
Isn't that Pesach Sheni? We're gonna do what we can.
There you go. Exactly. Very good. Okay, so we'll start with. I guess you could start with the kasha. What's the kasha? So we know what's the story of Pesach Sheni, right? So it says in Pasuk that Yidden came to Moshe Rabbeinu, that they said to Moshe Rabbeinu after Pesach, that anachnu tmeim l'nefesh adam, that we were tamei for different reasons, carrying the bones of Yosef. It's okay. The camera doesn't see it. So anachnu tmeim l'nefesh adam, and they say lo minigara, why should we lose out? We also want a yontif. And so Moshe Rabbeinu says, okay, amoy veshma, stand here, and I'll ask Hashem, we'll find out what's going to be. And lo and behold, it's a gili of Pesach Sheni. Okay, so the question all the farshim deal with is that what type of? I mean, it turns out that they were able to somehow bring down the need of Pesach Sheni, but it's a chiddush. What was their havamina? Lamani gora. Why should we lose out? You missed out. You missed them. You missed davening. You missed davening. You missed Pesach. What's this? What's their havamina? What's their havamina that they should be able to claim? You know, that they should deserve Kilu Pesach. Well, why should they deserve Pesach? They missed it. It turns out that they were able to somehow, through that time, bring down Pesach Sheni. Well, what were they thinking? Okay, so if you take a look at the first Marmok, and let's learn a little bit of the halachas of Pesach Sheni. So, it's like this. In the first Marmok we have is the Rambam in the beginning of the beginning of Perek Hay of Hilchos Korban Pesach. The fifth parak of Korban Pesach, of Hilchos Korban Pesach, talks about the halachas of Pesach Sheni. So the Rambam over here in the first couple of halachas sort of introduces us to the idea of the people that, would participate in Pesach Sheni. And what we'll see in a second, I'll tell you just a little bit outside of what we'll see, is that the Rambam really breaks up the categories of people that are relevant for Pesach Sheni into two categories. The Pasuk openly says two examples of people that need Pesach Sheni, which is, the Pasuk says, I should probably have a chumash. Someone that's b'derech rechayka, someone that's at a far distance from the Beis HaMikdash, someone that's at a far distance from the Beis HaMikdash, and that's why they weren't able to do the Karim Pesach. The other example the Pasuk says is someone that's Tameh, right? The people that came with the story, they were Tameh l'nefesh adam, they were Tameh. But the Pasuk, in response, the Rabban Shalom reveals Pesach Sheni, and it's for two things. Again, someone that's b'derech rechayka, someone that's far, and someone that is tamid. That's the example of what the pasuk says. Yeah. So the pasuk, Davrol b'nei Yisrael lemar. You don't have this in front of you, but Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, tell the Jewish people, ish ki atamid lenefesh. Anyone that becomes tamid to a dead body, and because of that, is not able to make the Korban Pesach. Oy b'derech rechayka lechem, or is at a great distance and isn't able to make it. V'asa Pesach l'Hashem, so they should have Pesach Sheni. That's the example. Now the truth is, Chazal understand that although those are the two examples, but those are examples. It could be any sort of oinus, any sort of reason why, for whatever reason, they couldn't make the Korban Pesach. For example, one of the stipulations of the Korban Pesach is that you have to have a bris milah. Let's say for some reason this year they didn't have a bris milah by Pesach Rishon time. Okay, so it's another oinus. So the examples are Derech Rechayka or Tameh. But again, there's other examples of, you can come up with any, use your imagination of what an example of an Inus is. That's a simple pshat in the Gemara and so on. The Rambam is a Chiddush. Again, we're not going into how the Rambam saw this in the Gemara and working out those intricacies. It's not for now. But the Rambam in the first Marmakim you'll see is that it is true. Pesach Sheni is for all people that weren't able to do the Karim Pesach. But there is a difference between these examples of a Tameh and derech chayka versus other types of oinus. There is a difference. So we'll see in a second. So it says around like this. Misha yatame b'shah shchitas ha-pesach. Someone that was tame during the time of the shchit of the Karban Pesach, shein shaych denolav, and it's a type of tumah that you can't just send the shliach to shacht for you. Again, we're not going into that, but tame mace, whatever it is, he can't do the Karban Pesach because he's tame. Ay shay b'derech chayka, or he's far away. Again, those are the examples the pasuk says. Ay nenas b'ainas acher. Or some other oinus takes place. Again, for example, he needs a bris milah. Whatever the oinus is, he's in prison. He's whatever the case may be. Oisha shogak. He forgot about Pesach. He forgot. He's a shogak. Whatever. Well, hikrav bishin. He didn't bring the korban Pesach. Hareza maybe Pesach bar ba'asu l'chaydesh hasheni. So then that's Pesach shenis for him. So he brings the korban Pesach the next month, the 14th of the next month, bein arba'im at night and so on. That's what the Rambam says. Now, the Rambam then goes on to say, it's a little bit of a misprint, I'm not sure. Misha shagag oy nenas. Now, the Rambam now goes to explain that there is a difference between the two examples. The Pasuk says versus other oinsim. It says the Rambam as follows. Misha shagag v'loy nenas, v'loy hikriv berishayim. Let's go with other oinsim, right? Not the two examples of the Chumash. A person was, he forgot about Pesach, a bris milah issue, whatever the thing is. And he was, and again, he didn't bring the Karban Pesach. So says the Rambam, these are the rules. Im hazed v'lo hikriv b'sheni, if he purposefully then doesn't bring the Karban Pesach, sheni, chayv karis. Right? We know that not bringing the Karban Pesach carries with it the punishment of karis if it's done purposefully. So this is what the Rambam is breaking it down for us. If it's of the category of other einsim, then when it comes Pesach Sheni time, you better bring it. If you don't bring it, then the person's chayav karis. Vim shagag einenas af b'sheni. Obviously, if a person is still an einus in the second Pesach or forgets about that, then obviously he's pater. But theoretically, if a person knows about Pesach Sheni and purposefully neglects it, that's chayav karis. Says the Rambam. Hezer v'lehik v'rishon. Let's say it wasn't a case of oinus. Let's say a person purposefully neglected the first Karban Pesach, harizah makir b'sheni, then also you have the opportunity to bring the Karban Pesach sheni, then lahikir b'sheni, and if you didn't bring it in the second Karban Pesach, the Pesach sheni, afal pisha shogak, even by Pesach sheni, it was by accident, harizah chayiv karis, it will be chayiv karis, or lahikir karban Hashem b'moyadai, because the first Karban Pesach you neglected purposefully, b'ayim mezid. That's the basic breakdown. But says the Rambam, Misha yitamei b'derech urchayka, but a person who was tamei or at a distance, v'loyos esarishan, and didn't bring the first Karban Pesach because of those two examples that the pasuk says, afal pi shehezid b'sheni, even if he purposefully neglects to bring the second Karban Pesach, ein chayiv karis. He's not chayiv karis. Shekfar nifter b'pesach rishon min hakaris, because there's a special patur that is put upon those two examples of a person tameh and a person at a distance, that they're automatically going to be putter from any punishment of kares relating to the Karban Pesach. So, simplifying the idea, the Rambam is telling us that there is a difference between these two examples of putter, tameh and derech rechayka, versus other einsim. Other einsim, listen, no one's chayv kares unless the person violated the mitzvah purposefully. But the question is, okay, so you have a guy that just didn't have a bris milah by the first Karban Pesach, and a person that was tamei or b'derech rechayka. So none of them are chayiv karis right now because it wasn't on any of their faults. But now comes Pesach Sheni. And now comes Pesach Sheni, and they purposefully neglect Pesach Sheni. So are they now chayiv karis? Says the Rambam, there's a difference. If you're dealing with other einsim, then there is no p'tur. Like, you're chayiv in Karban Pesach. Happens to be, you weren't able to fulfill the mitzvah by Pesach Rishon, so we give you a second opportunity by Pesach Sheni. You're still neglecting it on purposefully, chayiv karis. But when you're dealing with a tamei mederech rechayka, so even though we're giving them the opportunity of Pesach Sheni, but that's not to their detriment, it's only to their mila. In other words, they're officially pater. They're officially pater from karis. Once you're a tamei and derech rechayka by Pesach Rishon, then already you're fine. You're okay. The only question is, you want the opportunity to bring a Karban Pesach, we'll give you the opportunity by Pesach Sheni. But it's not held over them as if they're still have this chiv of a Karban Pesach. You know, as long as you have this like chiv of Karban Pesach hanging over you, of Pesach Rishon, then if you don't fulfill that in some way, then the person's going to be chayiv karis. So any other oinus, any other oinus, there's still theoretically this obligation of Pesach Rishon hanging over their heads. And the only way, so Rabbi Shimon has Rachmanis, and the way to sort of handle that, the Rabbi Shimon gives an opportunity of Pesach Sheni. But if a person, therefore, is mazed and neglects Pesach Sheni, then it's like, so basically, guy, you're just, you know, then you haven't, you certainly haven't fulfilled your obligation of Karban Pesach, and you did it purposefully. Because you have the opportunity the second time, and you didn't do it purposefully, that's Chayv Karz. But the person that's Tameh and Derech Rechaika, they're Pater. They're putter. The only reason, despite the fact that, therefore, no matter what's going to happen in the next month, they're putter from Kars. They're putter from Kars. The Rabbanu Shalom wants to be mechazik them, wants to give them an extra schos, so we give them an opportunity. That's called Pesach Sheni. But it's not. But there's no way to say that ultimately, sort of, they neglected their chiyah. Even if they then neglect Pesach Sheni purposefully, you can't zoom out and say, well, these people were neglectful of the Karban Pesach. They were tamei b'derech rechaika. That already means that they have a get out of jail free card. That's what that means. Any other einus is not automatically get out of jail free. That's not like the way it works. You're still chayiv in the Karban Pesach. You happen to miss your first opportunity, so you have a second opportunity. If you miss that purposely, then you're chayiv karis. Not having Karban Pesach brings with it a chayiv karis. But when you're talking about the two examples the Torah gives, which is a tamei b'derech rechaika, So then automatically, once you are able to, submit, you know, the thing that I'm tummy and derech rechaika, okay, fine. Then you're okay. We want to be mezaki. You will give you a schus to have a Karban Pesach also. So we'll give you a second opportunity, the Karban Pesach. But it's not as if when you go past that first Pesach as a tummy and derech rechaika, the person shouldn't feel as if, like, I have this obligation that I wasn't able to fulfill. You're putter. Your putter. We're going to give you an opportunity to be Mekayim this mitzvah a month later too, but it's not like you're chayiv and just you weren't able to do it. If you're chayiv and not able to do it, then ultimately there's still this chayiv karis hanging over you. You're not actually chayiv karis unless it's bemezid. But a month later, and now it's bemezid, there's a chayiv karis that kicks in because it was hanging over you. But the tami derech rechaika, to a certain degree, is putter right away. So that's the fundamental difference between the two. Again, we have to fine-tune it. But this is how the Rambam is dividing it up. So, again, the idea being Tomei and Derech Rechaika are not just, again, fundamentally different types of Einsim. Every other Einis, the guy doesn't have a bris milah or whatever the example is, he's chayiv in the Karban Pesach. Nothing's changed. He doesn't have any patur. And for such a person, the chayiv of the Karban Pesach is extended, so he has an extension for another month. But ultimately, he's chayiv in the Karban Pesach like anyone is chayiv, and he has not fulfilled his obligation yet. And if he doesn't ultimately fulfill his obligation, and he does that, and he neglects it purposely, that's chayiv karz. He just got an extension. But when you're talking about a tamei and derech rechaika, it's not just an extension. He's potter. Once you're tamei derech rechaika, you're potter. There is no chayiv karz hanging over the person at all. He's given an added opportunity a month later to be mekayim the mitzvah of Karban Pesach if he so chooses. He doesn't do it? Okay, he doesn't do it. But it wasn't like this the classic, you know, Pesach Rishon, which comes with this heaviness of kares, that wasn't hanging over him. He's good to go. It's the other einsim that they still have on them, that obligation of Karban Pesach with the weightiness of a chiyuv kares, that's still hanging over them. And they're given an extension to fulfill that. And if in the extension they neglect it purposely, then that's chiyuv karis. You understand? But that's the fundamental difference between these two categories. That's how the Rambam puts it. Okay, now let's go a little bit further to understand and to investigate the nature of these two examples. Again, these two patur. I guess we'll just for the sake of language purposes, we'll call them paturim, right? So b'derech rechaika and atame, these are paturim. These are exemptions. Whereas other examples of a person doesn't have a bris milah or, you know, whatever the case may be, his in-laws don't let him go, whatever it is. So those are einsim, okay? There's an einis. An einis means that you still have the mitzvah, it's just you weren't able to fulfill it. You're not potter. Okay, I'm not going into lumdus of einis rechon apachu, but I'm saying for these purposes, let's just simplify it. So now let's investigate a little bit the nature of these paturim of derech rechaika and tamei. We'll focus on Derech Ruchayka first. It's interesting halachas. Take a look at Marmok number 2. It says, a Mishnah, Mesachas Psachim, Tzadi Gimel, Amebeis. Again, the Pasuk says, the example of that first Ptur is, Bederech Ruchayka, you're in a far distance. What does that mean, far distance? What does it mean? How far? So says the Mishnah like this, Ezi Hiderech Ruchayka. What does it mean, far away? So says the Gemara like this, says the Mishnah, Min Hamedian, Min Hamedian Uluchutz, Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva says, and the way the Gemara interprets it is as follows: if you are by the time of Pesach midday, that's when the current Erev Pesach by midday, that's the official beginning of Shechting the current Pesach. So you have basically the time of offering the current Pesach is the beginning of the afternoon Erev Pesach until sundown. Right, that let's say those 6 hours, that's your window. So says Rabbi Akiva, being a derech ruchayka means is that you are more than 6 hours away. So in other words, when the time of midday erev Pesach comes, wherever you are, if you by foot can make it to the Beis Hamikdash within those 6 hours, that's not derech ruchayka. If by foot you can make it to the Beis Hamikdash because you're past that demarcation point of 6 hours, that's called derech ruchayka. What is that demarcation point? So that's Modi'im. The city of Modi'im, says Rabbi Akiva, that is exactly 6 hours away from the Beis HaMikdash. So if you're in Modi'im, you can make it within 6 hours. If you're past it, you can't. So that's the circumference. Maybe draw a circle around your shrine from that spot. That's the zone, within 6 hours. Okay, that's Rabbi Akiva. And it's based on the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Derech Ruchayka, what does it mean Derech Ruchayka? A million miles away. 5 miles away, says Rabbi Kiva says, if you're at a distance that you can't make it to Beis HaMikdash during the time of Shechitas Karban Pesach. That's Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Lezer says no. Rabbi Lezer says, Maskoifis Hazara Ulechutz. If you're not in the Hazara, you're called Bederech Ruchayka. So if a person finds themselves literally outside the threshold of the Beis HaMikdash during the entire period of the Shechitas Karban Pesach, they could easily step in. This is the most amazing thing with Rabbi Lezer. In Rabbi Akiva, you can say, listen, the guy's taka stuck. He's more than 6 hours away. He can't make it. Comes Rabbi Lezer. Rabbi Lezer says a chiddush. This patur of derech ruchayka, you could easily remedy the situation. Just take a step. You're literally right outside the Beis HaMikdash. Says Rabbi Lezer, if you're standing outside Beis HaMikdash and just for some reason, like throngs of people are passing you by, you're not going anywhere. You're still Bederech Ruchayka. If you're in the Beis HaMikdash and you don't bring a Karban Pesach, then you're not Bederech Ruchayka. You have to bring a Karban Pesach. But the Petur of being Bederech Ruchayka means anyone that's not in the Azar. Says Rabbi Lezer, Omer, Maskoifis Hazar Luchutz. If you're from the threshold on the Azar on the outside, that's called Derech Ruchayka. So it's a Pella. Such a thing is called Derech, a far distance. And it's such a strange thing. You could easily remedy the situation. Om Rabbi Yaisi. Rabbi Yaisi said that the makar of Rabbi Eliezer is lefichach nakud al hay. In that pasuk derech rechayka, so the hay of the word rechayka. If you take a look at the Sefer Torah, there's a dot. Why is there a dot? There's no nakudas in the Sefer Torah, so it's telling you something. Loimer loibim neisharachak vaday. It's a remez. The pasuk is being the chumash is being meramis with that dot. Don't take rechayka so seriously. It doesn't mean mamish far away. He can be mamish right there. But he's not in the Beis HaMikdash. If he's not in the Beis HaMikdash, if you're in a matziv of Baderach, then you're exempt from Karban Pesach. It's a patur. Okay? El maskoifas hazar ulechot. So when we think about these shitas of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yazar, so certainly what one would suggest that Rabbi Akiva sort of, like let's put it this way. When we think of these Peturim of Derech Ruchayka or Tameh, we think of them as examples of people that are stuck. Like they're trying, and so they want to get the Karban Pesach, but they can't. This guy's Tameh, this guy's at a distance, so Hashem is Rachmanis, and Hashem says, you know what? You try so hard, it's Rachmanis, here's a Petur, I'll give you a Petur. So you could say that for Rabbi Akiva, maybe, because Rabbi Akiva is talking about a Yid that's Haka very far, and he can't make it to the Beis HaMikdash in time for Shechitas Karban Pesach. So you could think, maybe that's the idea, that Tzaka's Rachmanis. But in Rabbi Lezer, you can't say that. Rabbi Lezer is talking about a guy that's standing right there, and he's just like, arms folded, I'm not going in. And still the Baruch Hu says, Pater. So that's a very strange thing. But the truth is, even Rabbi Akiva, even Rabbi Akiva, it's clear that this p'tur will be handed out as to someone that's derech r'chayka, even if theoretically he could still make it. Take a look at the next Maramukah. Maramukah number 3 is a Gemara, also in Pesachim, Tzadi Daladam and Aleph, Tan Rabbanan. This is a brisa that's discussing the shita of Rabbi Akiva. So again, Rabbi Akiva said, what does it mean derech r'chayka? Takes it more literally. You're outside of that 6-hour walking distance. By foot, you're not going to be able to make it. Says the Gemara like this. So says the Gemara, let's say you're outside of that zone, so you can't make it by foot. But you have a horse, you have a car, you have a motorcycle, you have a helicopter, you could get there. You're outside of the 6-hour radius by foot. But you're not outside of the 6-hour radius by vehicle. So yachol yeh chayev. So maybe you don't have the patur then. Tama loymer ubederech loyhoya. It says the Gemara, even Rabbi Akiva will say, there's another pasuk which doesn't use the word rechayka, which is probably where Rabbi Lezer was coming from. Since the other pasuk doesn't use the word rechayka, so Rabbi Akiva will agree that even if you're at a distance, you could make it with the vehicle that you have. And it's not with someone, you have a horse. And you can make it. Lamaisa, you're outside of 6 hours by foot, you're pater. Right? Well, let's say the other example. It says in Braisa, Hoya Bederech, and Hoya Oymed Lifnim in Hamidim. Let's say you're within 6-hour walking radius. But there's terrible traffic, and you can't make it. So I'm technically within walking distance when there's a clear path, but there's hundreds of thousands of Yidin over here. It's bumper to bumper. I can't make it anywhere. So yachal lo yeh chayev. So maybe then you get an exemption. Tama loymer ubederech lo yeh. The answer is no. He's not bederech. Hare lo yeh bederech. So what do you see from this Gemara when it's explaining the shita of Rabbi Akiva? Even Rabbi Akiva is not. So you think Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva is like the logical one. In other words, it's a matter of like, is this guy's fault or not? Lysa, he's out. He can't make it. So if he can't make it, he gets the patur. If he could make it, he doesn't have the patur. But says this Brisa, even Rabbi Akiva, it's not based on whether you could make it or not. You could be within the 6-hour radius and you can't make it. And you could be outside of the 6-hour radius and you could make it. And still, it doesn't make a difference. If you're bederech, it's like a chalois derech rechayka. If you're in that matzav of derech rechayka, you're automatically given this patur card. Whether it's your fault or it's not your fault. If you're in Derech Rechayka, you get a patur. You're not in Derech Rechayka, you don't get a patur. What does it mean, Derech Rechayka? So Rabbi Akiva says, Derech Rechayka means 6-hour radius by foot. Rabbi Lezer says, anything that's not Azara. But it's not a matter of whose fault it is. Is it yes, my fault, not my fault? Whatever matzav I'm in, if I am in a space that's called the Derech Rechayka, I get a patur. What does it mean, Derech Rechayka? So that's Machlekes, Rabbi Lezer, and Rabbi Akiva. But it has nothing to do with whose fault it is. So it's a strange thing. It's not a strange thing. Again, when we think, and you know, all the other examples, as I said, there's two different categories in the Rambam. There's Ein Sim, which is clear because it's not his fault. But what's interesting is, again, when it's not your fault, you don't get a patur. There's a new metzias. There's something that's called a Tameh and Derech Rechayka. It could be his fault. It's not his fault. It makes no difference. If you're in that category of Tameh and Derech Rechayka, you get a patur. Yeah. I'm sorry? Who does?
The Rambam,
where does he call it an
Einus? He says,
Einus, Einus. Yeah, no, there's other categories of Einus.
That's what
I'm saying.
Acher means other categories of Einus.
I understand. But it's clear in the Gemara, the Rambam quotes these Gemaras a little bit later on. Clearly that even if it's not an Einus, again, that's the Rambam. The guy is a sus. The guy is he can make it. That's still called Derech Rechayka. That's cool. It's not a classical type of Einus that we think of. There's a chalais patur that happens to a yid that's situated in a situation that's called derech. What does it mean derech rechayka? Again, that's a machalikas Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Kiva. Again, what they're struggling with are the two psukim. There's one pasuk which uses the term derech rechayka openly. Another pasuk doesn't use the term rechayka. So how do you manage that? So Rabbi Kiva manages it in his way. Rabbi Lezer manages it in his way. But whatever derech rechayka means, but it's a patur. Now it comes a little bit more strange. What's more strange? Take a look at Maramukah number 4. There's a Gemara also on Tzadi Dalet Amud Beis. The Gemara, again, first quotes the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Again, Rabbi Eliezer said, what does it mean, Derech Rechayka? You're not in the Azara. If you're not in the Azara Mamish, it's your fault, it's not your fault, it makes no difference. If you're not in the Azara, that's called Derech Rechayka, you get a patur. The only situation where you don't have this patur is if you're in the Azara, right? And then for some reason you're not giving, you're not being makar the Korban Pesach, that's chayv karis. So the Gemara says the following thing. Again, he quotes the Mishnah. Rav Lezer Omer Haskoifis, that if you're outside the threshold of the Azara, that's called Erech Chayka. Says the Gemara of Afal Gav Matzi Ayil. It means that like you can mamash take a step, and you're inside. V'loyam Rinan like Kumba Ayil, and we don't tell him to go in and do it. Vatanya asked the Gemara, we have a problem. What's the kasha? The kasha is when it comes to the other Einsim, we find not like that. Says the Gemara, the Brisa says Yehudi Ara. Let's say you have a Yid that doesn't have a bris milah. Shaloimol, and he could have a bris milah, but he doesn't. So enesh karis, he has a chiv of karis because he's neglecting to bring the Karan Pesach because of his milah, because of his orla. Divrei Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar says that. So the Gemara is asking. So when it comes to derech rechayka, if he could take one step, we don't force him to take one step. Derech rechayka, fine. But all of a sudden, when it comes to not having a bris milah, then we say, listen, give yourself a bris milah. If you don't, then it's your fault. So says the Amar Abaya. So Abaya says, that's the difference. Derech rechayk v'tohar, vein derech rechayk v'tameh. In other words, derech rechayk, as we've been saying, is its own individual patur, and has nothing to do with whether you're obligated or not obligated. It's a patur that's handed to you. If you are b'derech rechayk, you're given that patur. The situation of the Aral, he's not in the category of derech rechayk. That's a matter of oinus. And a matter of oinus, he's not an oinus. Give himself a bris milah and he'll be able to do it. But comes Taisvis, and again, I don't want to get too much in the details of how Taisvis figured this out in the Gemara. But Taisvis makes the following observation. Marmaka number 5. Ve'ein derech rechayk l'tame. Ksas tema. Taisvis says that when you go through the Gemara, it comes out a very, very strange maskana, which is, kishu oimed chutz la'azara, v'hu oral oitame. Let's say a person is outside the Azara, and he is also someone that lacks a bris milah, or he's tamei, but not the tamei of the exemption type. We're talking about a different type of tamei, tamei sheretz. That's what Taisus is talking about, a different type of tamei. So Taisus has the following scenario. The guy is b'derech rechayka, but on top of him being a derech rechayka, he's also an RL. He has the other einsim too. Says Taisus, and here's the irony. As far as the other einsim are concerned, he could fix that. So he could give himself a bris, and he can go in. Says Taisvis, Chayv b'Pesach. Because he has an other einis on top of him, another meniyah on top of him, and that meniyah he could fix, then he doesn't get the patur of derech rechayka. Okay? V'im yimol v'yitar. If, however, he does have a bris milah, and now he's just b'derech rechayka, he pater, now he'll become pater. And Taisus deals with that. That's a very, very strange thing. In other words, Taisus makes the observation is that if a person is b'derech rechayka, and b'derech rechayka deserves that patur. But the chiddush is, Taisus says an amazing thing, is that if you're in order to get that patur, the only issue has to be just derech rechayka. If there's derech rechayka plus other issues, you don't get the patur. So if you're a derech rechayka and also you don't have a bris milah, no patur. If, however, my only issue is derech rechayka, then I get a patur. It's a very counterintuitive type of thing over here. You would think that if the reason why I'm getting a patur is because Rabban Shmuel Rachman, it's like you're so. Then I have even more reason to be patur because I also don't have a bris milah and I have all these minyas. No. If you have other minyas, then there's no patur. If the only thing holding you back is the fact that you're b'derech rechayka or a tamei meis, then you get a patur. But if you're b'derech rechayka or a tamei meis, and on top of that also sheretz, and on top of that also bris milah, other reasons why you should be more removed from the Karan Pesach, you actually don't get the patur. So again, it's very, very counterintuitive. You have how counterintuitive that is. Again, you should think the more conceptual distance there is between me and the Karan Pesach, the more reason I should be patur. But it's like, no. If you have other issues, so it says there, so that's the scenario. Like, the person is b'derech rechayka, whatever the sheet is, Rabbi Elazar b'Akiva, that's not the point. You're b'derech rechayka, and he's also an aro. No patur. He makes himself have a bris milah, and now all that he is derech rechayka, now he gets the patur. Very counterintuitive. So what's going on? So let me try to explain. I don't know how much I'll be able to do, but we'll do what we can. What's the inyan I'll say the sentence, and then I'll spend a couple of paragraphs trying to explain the sentence. The sentence is as follows. The side of someone that's found b'derech rechayka, or tamei nefesh, is pshat, is that that itself is a kiyum of the Karban Pesach. That is a way in which he is actually, to a certain degree, be mekayim the mitzvah of the Karban Pesach. Until now, we've been saying that he gets a patur. Why does he get a patur? So you would think, why does he get a patur? Because he's so he's mamash b'derech rechayka. He's no shaychus. Yeah, but that's not really true. We see from both Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Lezer, he's not so far. Right? Rabbi Lezer, he's not just a step foot away. And even Rabbi Akiva, he has a car, he has a motorcycle, he can get there. It's not, right? Why is he potter? And he only gets that p'tur when he's b'derech rechayka, only derech rechayka, or only tamei nefesh. But if there's other minyanim, then he doesn't get the p'tur. The answer is the side of the patur is that anyone that's found b'derech rechayka or a tamei nefesh, that's a situation that he's actually to a certain degree makusher to the Karban Pesach. Ad kedei kach, even though he didn't fulfill the mitzvah, to a certain degree he's shaykh to the Karban Pesach, and that's why he's potter, because to a certain degree he already fulfilled it. And let me try to explain a little bit what I'm talking about. What's the inyan of the Karban Pesach? So I mentioned this over Pesach. We spoke about this in the Kamarna, in his Sefer Eitz Rechaim, in many of the mitzvahs that he talks about by the Karban Pesach. A theme running throughout those mitzvahs is the following idea: is that the Karban Pesach represents the I'm not sure how to say this with Levushim. The Karban Pesach represents the matziv of Klal Yisrael and the Shechina HaKadosha in a state of Geula. The Kamarna talks about this. He says that obviously we're in Galus right now, but the Chiddush of the Karban Pesach is that it's a little bit of like a wormhole. It's a little bit of a window and sort of a moment in time that's reflective of the future world. A future world of Geula. And in the writings of the Kamarna, he talks about this, that one of the classic descriptions or fundamental chidushim of what that period of Yomaisa Mashiach looks like then is first of all Gilui Shechina, the Shechina Kedusha being Nezgala Umalar Zdeis Hashem and so on, but also it means that all the Try to think how to say this. I'm gonna take for granted that you've heard previous shiurim. So we're gonna go with that. the story of the Karban Pesach is a reflection of what it looks like when the Shechina HaKadosha is in her full glory. The Shechina HaKadosha represents, like we spoke about by Shaul Shudis, we were just talking about this before, the Shechina HaKadosha represents that quality of emptiness, of we're called Tzayin Kodshin. I'm trying. I told you, if I don't have time to prepare, I have a hard time finding the Levushim. Most of my time is spent coming up with garments for ideas, not so much the ideas themselves. The Jewish people are called Hashem sheep. A sheep is an animal that just flows after the shepherd. It has no force of its own. Now that's a beautiful, beautiful quality when there's no need to be aggressive, when there's no enemies. When it's nice, just beautiful, clean, green pastures, then it's called to be a sheep. The problem is when there's enemies, then you have to have a tekifus. The nature of the Shechina is to be a lemela, is to be a little bit of a sheep. That's the nature of the Shechina. When Mashiach comes, then that quality of being empty and being a sheep and being mamish, that becomes the greatest gift of all. That becomes the highest thing in the universe because you're mamish, just a vessel for Elikos. But the problem is that nowadays, because there's other forces out there that demand a strength to fight against them, then that lemela quality becomes a little bit of a weakness. So it's like this: the Korban Pesach is a seh. The Korban Pesach is that type of animal. It's a lemela. That's what it is. And usually, in the Kisvei Ari, that's point number one. Point number two: in the Kisvei Ari, fire, the Koyach of Gvuris, is usually associated with fuel that the Yetzirah uses very, very much. Koyach of Gvura, of Din, of Gvuris, that fire is usually the Yetzirah associated. Therefore, nowadays, when the Shechina Kedosha and that part of a Jew that's called the Shechina is not in her full glory, then a tremendous amount of heat and fire can become dangerous. The Chiddush of the Korban Pesach is that you have a Seh that's Tzli Esh. And not even, no barrier between the Seh and the Esh. The situation is such by Yemais HaMashiach that we can allow all the Gevuras to be manifest, all the Kayach of Gevuras to come into the world, and there's no danger at all of it becoming corrupted. And there's no danger at all. The Seh can be the Seh, despite the fact that there's a lot of Gevuras in the world. It's completely fine, because everything has become tar, everything has become elevated, the whole universe is part of God's space, the Kayach of the Yetzirah is itself transformed into Kedusha. That's the Korban Pesach. That's the Gemara talks about. What does it mean, someone that's Tameh and Bederech Rechaika? The sight of someone that's Tameh Bederech Rechaika is that that situation represents a Yid that's also connected to the Shechina. But not the Shechina necessarily in her pristine, shlemistic expression, which is the Korban Pesach, but Al-Kopanim, the Shechina, in a more limited form, which is the Shechina nowadays. First of all, someone that's Tamei Nefesh, it says in Pasuk, Hashoichen Itam B'Toich Tumasam. The nature of the Shechina in Golis is that the Shechina HaKadosha resides in a situation of Tuma in order to be Matar, in order to be Mechazik those and Shamas that are stuck there. So someone that's Tamei Nefesh, and specifically Tamei Nefesh goes back to the Chet of the Yetz Hadas, which brought death into the world itself. The Shechina HaKadosha, ever since that moment, its main job in this time before Mashiach comes is to bring a tikkun to those neshamas and to engage with tumas meis in order to bring a tikkun to those neshamas that are stuck there. So someone that's betameh. So and I was like, here's the idea: the yisoid of Korban Pesach is someone that's a merkava for the Shechina. That's what a Korban Pesach means. The Korban Pesach, when it's being fulfilled in its proper way, means that you're a merkava for the Shechina in her full stature, in her full glory, which is a window in Lasa Lava. But a situation of Tomei, and as we'll say in a moment, the Derech Rechaika, means a Yid that's also a merkava for the Shechina, but not the Shechina in her redemptive state, but a Shechina in her exiled state. And the Shechina in her exiled state is embodied by these two things, which is called Tomei and Bederech Rechaika. Tomei is because Hashoichen Itam B'Toich Tumasam. And specifically, as I said, Tomei Meis, since the Chet Yetz Hadas, the whole inyan of the Shechina is that she has to go down into Golis, into low places, in order to be Mechazik, in order to save Neshamas. That's called Tomei. And then there's an inyan that's called Derech Ruchayka. Derech, the situation of Derech is it says in Pasuk regarding the Shechina, when she's in a state of Golis, Ragleha Yardos Mavis, her feet descend into death. That place of Tum, which is a place of death, another reflection of that is the raglayim, the feet. The feet of the Shechina, when the Shechina descends into Golis, it's described in this way, is that her feet descend into death. So when you're talking about an environment, a situation, which is reflective of being a merkava for the Shechina in Golis, it's being in a state of Tumah, of Tumas Meis, or it's being Baderach, It's being in a situation where you're traveling. Traveling has to do with the feet, which is Ragleha Yardes Mavis. It's specifically Derech Rechaika. The reason why it's Derech Rechaika is because the Arizal writes in a few places that there's a mida of Chachma. Chachma, it says in Pasuk, Hashem b'chachma yased aretz. When the Shechina, which is associated with aretz, the final mida, that earthliness, that tzebrachenkeit, that lemela, that's the aretz, the foundation of it, when it's in a state of shlemus, of completion, that quality of aretz is deeply rooted in the highest mida, which is called chachma. Hashem b'chachma yased aretz. It says in Pasuk, Amarti echkama v'hi rechoyke mimeni. Chachma is associated with that which is at a distance. In the state of galus, the Shechina is unable to access all of its full koyach of chachma, and therefore chachma is amarti echkama v'rechoyka mimeni. Derech rechoyka, the site of derech rechoyka means the Shechina Hakdoisha that's found in a situation of ragleha yardos mavis, in which case it's amarti echkama v'rechoyka mimeni, where she's far from her full koyach, which comes from the world of Chachma. There are some tzaddikim, it's quoted, tzaddikim quote from, I think, Rav Tali Ravshitz or other tzaddikim like this, that they used to say that if they could, they would want to be traveling their entire lives, just always on the road. Why? They said because nowadays that the Shechina is in Galus, the place that the Shechina is most predominantly found is Baderech. And so if they could be Baderech all their lives, they would want to do it. Rav Nachman began to say Pur Maisias, right, with Baderech, on the way, I told a Maisa. And anyone that heard it had thoughts of tshuva. Even Rav Nachman in Likud Maran, in the beginning of Torah Gimel, where he talks about the kavanas and the site of Elul, the kavanas of tshuva. So the kavanas of tshuva are connected with the word baderech. Hanoisim biyam derech. Derech is begmatchia, the name Eke b'miloy and the name Havai b'miloy, which the Rav Nachman there talks about the name of tshuva. Why is derech associated with tshuva? But derech separati maisa. The answer is because derech is where the Shechina is in galus, and the inyan of tshuva means tashuv hay. It means taking the Shechina out of galus and returning the Shechina to her full stature. And therefore, since the Shechina in galus means ragleha yardos mavis, and amarti echkma v'rechoykim imeni, the shayrish of the Shechina, which is in chachma, is at a distance from her in a state of galus. So derech rechayka is the site of a yid that's a merkava for the Shechina in galus. So these two situations of a yid that's b'derech rechayka and a yid that's tamei lenefesh is the story of the Shechina in galus. What's the Shechina in galus? The Shechina in galus is the Rabbanu Shem says to the Shechina, Shechina Hakdoisha, I know that you want to be in heaven. I know you want to be in a good place because you're a tzayin, you're a lemla, your makeup is to be just batel telikos. But that's not your avoider right now. I need you to go into the world. I need you to use your feet and to descend into death, regla yordes mavis, and to make yourself in that process distant from your shayrish, amarti echma v'yurchaikim meni, but you're doing this in order to fix neshamas. And the Rabbanu Shem promises that anyone that's makusher to the Shechina in her state of galus, kol mas'abal al Yerushalayim, is zoyche v'ray b'vinyani. So you have these two categories. There are some yidden that there's an oinus, they cannot give the Karban Pesach. Why? The oinus, tam, bris mila had an issue, whatever the oinus is. Okay, that's tam an oinus. But then there are yidden that are b'derech rechayka and tamei nefesh. And they're putter. Why are they putter? Because what's the inyan Karban Pesach? The inyan Karban Pesach is to be makusher to the Shechina, to be recovered for the Shechina. And so there's different stages of the Shechina. The Shechina in her full glory, that's the Karban Pesach mamash. But even when the Shechina is not in her full glory, it's still the Shechina. And that's the Dame in Derech Rechayka. So the person that was Tami B'Derech Rechayka by Pesach Rishon was Shaykh to the Kiyum of Karban Pesach. That's why he's Pater from Kares. Because he was, to a certain degree, Mekayim in the Karban Pesach. Because he became a recovery for the Shechina. For the fact that he was in that category and in that storyline of the Shechina and Golos, of Ragla Yardes Maves, and Amarti Echkma V'Rechayka Mimeni. And so that's what the Tami in Derech Rechayka means. Once, therefore, the person became recovered for the Shechina in Golas, so now it's only a matter of time till the Shechina comes out of Golas, and they'll be able to be recovered for the Shechina out of Golas. And therefore, that's why they're given a Pesach Sheni, not because they were Mekayim the Karban Pesach. Of course they were Mekayim the Karban Pesach. They were Mekayim the Karban Pesach in Golas. They became recovered for the Shechina in Golas. And if you're recovered for the Shechina in Golas, then of course you'll be zaycha to be merkav for the Shechina and Gula, and that's what Pesach Sheni is. Therefore, those Yidden that came to the Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Lomani gar, why should we lose that? I mean, why should we lose that? You missed it." The answer is, he didn't miss it. We were mekusher to the Shechina when she's in her lowly state, and if you're meiser nefesh to mekusher to the Shechina in her lowly state, kol mesavel Yerushalayim is zaychev raya bevinyana. That's only right. That's only fair. So everyone else gets to experience the Shechina in her full stature and glory in Geula mode, which is the Karm Pesach. As I said, Tzliyesh, that all of a sudden that Shechina is now back, a window into a universe where there's no concern about Dinim, there's no concern about Gvuris, there's no concern about anything else. Let all the fires rage because there's no concern about any of those fires becoming a Yetzara. Because the Karm Pesach represents a window into a Tekufa where the Shechina is out of Golas and it's Gevaldik, it's amazing, it's all Iris, and the Shechina is able to be in her place, in that pristine place. And then you have Nebuch the Tami, Derech Urchaika, that aren't able to experience that, but not because they have no Shaychis. Other Yidden, they were just not part of the program. But these Yidden were part of the program. They're also Mekusha to the Shechina, but they're Mekusha to the Shechina as she is now, which is Ragla Yordis Mavis, that she goes into a state of Tumas Meis, to bring tikkunim to the world, that's Tameh. And she's Baderech, which is the inyan of Ragla Yordis Mavis, of the feet descending into that place of Toma. And Amarti Echma V'Rechayk Mimeni, and that state of Golas is that she's far from her Shoyrish, which is the site of Derech Rechayka. And so now that this Yid is Merkava for the Shechina, just a Merkava for the Shechina in Golas, so to a certain degree, again, they were Mekayim, the inyan of Karim Pesach, Akadekach, that they're Pater from Karis, and because they were Mekush to the Karim Pesach and the Shechina in the state of Golas, it's only right and a matter of time until they get a zchus to be Mekush to the Shechina in her state of Gula, and that's what Pesach Sheni is. So, halacha l'maisa of this is that all of us, that every Yid is a chelik of the Shechina, and all of us are being mishtayach and being merkava for the Shechina in Golas by the fact that we have to be thrown into situations that are not so pristine and matzavim that are not so things, and we're always baderech. If you think about it, it's a big nechama. I'll just say this, I know it's late, but one last thing. A very small percentage of your life, you're actually in the place that you wanted to be. The vast majority of your life is that you're going somewhere. It could be something as simple as like going to the kitchen, but the vast majority of your life is that you're traveling somewhere. So if you think about it, it can be very depressing, because that means a very small percentage of my life is destination. So what's the avoid of being baderech? The answer is, when you're baderech, you have to think of yourself as okay, I'm traveling, I'm not at my final destination, neither is the Shechina. And at that moment, you become a cover for that. So since the Rabbanu Shalom makes us that we're all in a state of galus in such a way, we find ourselves temeim lenefesh adam, and we find ourselves baderech rechayka, that means that we are makover for the Shechina in Golas. If we're makover for the Shechina in Golas, it means that we're taka shaykh to the Karim Pesach, to the degree that we're taka be makayimit ad kedei kach, that we're putter from the Kares. And more than that, kol masal v'yushalayim zaychar v'binyana, since we're makusha to the Shechina in Golas, it's automatically guaranteed that we'll be makusha to the Shechina in Gula, and that's what the site of Pesach Sheni is. The Rabbanu Shalom should bless us, taka, we should be able to see the fruits of all of our actions, and to be able to see the Shechina come out of Golas and return to her full glory, which is the site of the Karm Pesach. May every man or amen.